Resistant free selling. How do we sell? How do we influence? How do we persuade? How do we negotiate without any resistance or without having that rejection? How we get others to want to do what we want them to do and like doing it? How can we do this? Hi and welcome back. This is Kurt Mortensen and welcome back to Resistant Free Selling. Today I want to focus on closing skills. Now, I've mocked closing skills time and time again. I always say, well, closing skills is like trying to get a kiss after a bad date. And it's true. And the reason that's true is that everyone runs to learn closing skills first. And I'm just telling you, if people don't like you and they don't trust you, if you don't understand human nature, a clever phrase isn't going to help you out. But once you have that foundation, there is a time and place for closing skills. And that really helps reduce the rejection, the resistance when you're talking to somebody. Why? It helps lead them down the path to persuasion. You're helping them persuade themselves through these skills. And we have to remember, and we've talked about, that most objections are knee-jerk objections. But once you've realized that this is a true objection, we have to look at the top five objections out there. The top five. The first one, we've heard it time and time again. Oh, I want to think it over. Really? Do you? I want to think it over. Now, that's a human tendency. We tend to do that. And we need to figure out, is that a smokescreen or is that a true concern? Is that a smokescreen or true concern? And another aspect is they tend to mirror your hesitation. Meaning, the objection that kind of scares you the most is the one that you're going to get. If you get a little nervous, you get a little tense, if your demeanor changes during your presentation, they will also mirror that. So when you hear this, you have to think about, okay, why are they doing this? It might be the easy way out. They've done it before and the person left them alone. The person hung up. They didn't have to waste any more time. Sometimes they say it because they don't see the benefits. Maybe they feel stress or fear about making a decision about right now, what about this? What if this happens? They have these fears that would cause this. Or maybe it's truly a concern. It's an analytical personality that's going to need a little more time to think things over. So what are we going to do here? The first one is we're going to find out, is this a knee-jerk objection or is this a smokescreen? Hey, you know, I want to think it over. Don't beat them up. Say, okay, great. Think it over. But let me ask you a question. What exactly are you going to think over? And if they say, well, everything. It's a knee-jerk objection. You better find out what's really going on. Or if they say, I need to take a look at your terms and about this warranty compared to this warranty, that's what I need to think over and that's what I need to do. That simple, and you know exactly what's going on. They might need a little more time. You can use a little humor and say, fine, I understand that. I can wait with a big smile on your face. And you have to adapt this to the situation, to your personality, and to their personality. Or you could say, obviously, you have a reason for saying that. Would you mind if I ask what it is? And be serious. You're a consultant. And when you're sincere and you have that trust and you're a likable person, this works. Now, if they don't like you and they don't trust you, they don't see a need for your product or service, nothing you say here is going to work anyway. But when you have that connection, when you're the consultant, when you're the expert, it works. I've monitored so many different persuaders. I've seen it works. It works. Or a little humor. Are you trying to get rid of me? With a smile on your face. Again, adapt it to you or your personality. I've seen that work very, very well. Doesn't work for you, fine, but it does work. Try it out. Be sincere. Be genuine. If you don't feel like you're a funny person, don't want to use any humor, don't use some of the other ones. I'm too busy. I don't have any time. Okay, we hear it all the time. Then you can just say, then you're exactly the person I need to talk to, which kind of gets them to step back and think about it. And well, why is that? Well, since you're so busy, this product, this service is going to save you time. It's going to do this, and you can fill in the blank. You give it, what you've done is given yourself a 5 to 10 second window where they're kind of looking at you to really give them a benefit of what you're doing. But you only have 5 to 10 seconds after saying something like that. And you say, really? You're too busy to? And then you can fill in the blank to whatever your benefit is. Well, how much time do you think I need? Well, I don't know, 30 minutes. Nope, I need 5 minutes of your time. Give me 5 minutes of time. I'm going to show you three ways to, and again, fill in the blank with your benefit. Oh, I'm not interested. Really? You hear that one before? That's another big knee-jerk reaction. I'm not interested. I could be on the streets of New York City handing out $100 bills because I just wanted to be a good person that day. And I'm just handing $100 to people, and some people wouldn't take it. Some people would say, oh, I'm not interested. Okay? That happens. It's a knee-jerk reaction. Doesn't matter how good your product or service is, you're going to get that. Why? Well, again, it could be a knee-jerk reaction. It could be true. How do we solve it? You can say, well, may I ask why you're not interested? And ask him. Be sincere. Be genuine. Well, you're not interested in, and then you can fill in the blank. Now, if they haven't seen a benefit and they don't like you as a person, this is not going to help you out. You know, this is assuming, and I shouldn't assume, that you've connected, you see a need or want for your product or service, and there's some type of consultant role. Of course you're not interested. You don't have the latest information. That's why I came. That's why we're talking. Can I have 3 minutes of your time? Can I have 5 minutes of your time? I want to show you three ways, four ways, six ways, two ways to, again, then you fill in the benefit. Now, I'm saying a lot about benefits here. If you don't know what your benefit is, you need to go back to the drawing board and figure out what is the main reason, what is the main benefit of your product or service. Well, you're not interested now, or is that forever? That's humor. That's done with a smile. Again, you have to have that relationship. Well, I need to talk to my spouse, my partner. I need to talk to, and you've heard that one before. Most of the time, it's a knee-jerk reaction, but sometimes it's very real. Now, this is another one where you're going to weed out that smokescreen. You'd say, well, great. What exactly do you need to talk about? Or when you talk to your partner, what exactly is it that you need to talk to them about? And if they say, oh, everything, you know it's a smokescreen. If they say this, this, and this, you know exactly what it is. What would happen if you made the decision right now? And smoke them out. See what's going on. Find out what the fears are. Why they don't feel like they could make the decision, or again, is it a smokescreen? Let's talk to him or her together. Now, here's an important thing as a persuader to understand. When you're in sales and you're talking to people, that nobody can persuade or sell better than you with your product or service. Well, maybe we can find someone, but we're going to pretend you're the best. And you've been to, say, a seminar before, and it changed your life, and you went home to try to tell someone about it, and you went, you couldn't do it. And that's what's going to happen here. They loved what you heard. They tried to tell the CEO or the vice president or spouse. Nobody could do it justice. So maybe you can get them together. You say, hey, can I talk to them? Can I be there too? They're probably going to have questions that you might know the answer to. I'm more than happy to help you out. Try to be there. Won't happen every time, but try to be there. Old price resistance. Too expensive. Can't afford it. There's a big difference between the ability to pay versus being willing to pay. This is the one people know gets rid of people. Oh, I can't afford it. I can't do it. Not right now. I have no money. Yada, yada, yada. You've heard it before. Your job is to build the value. When you get to the price, they should say, that's it. What a great value. Even if they can't afford it, they know it's a great value. Buying desire reduces price sensitivity. The more you can build their emotion, the more they can see themselves doing it. The more you build that value, it reduces the price sensitivity. Depending on the study, 60 to 70% of the time, price is not the main factor. Rarely is the main factor. Quit fighting on price. And remember, only 6% of the time, what we buy is based on price. We go for value. We didn't eat at McDonald's every day. We didn't buy the cheapest car out there. We don't buy our clothes at a thrift store all the time. When the value's there, the value's there. So what can we do? When we hear it's too expensive, I can't afford it. You can say, compared to what? Now, as a consultant, this will work. If you're sincere and you're genuine, why are they saying that? Okay, what are you comparing it to? Compared to what? And again, if they say, well, everything, I just know, it's a knee jerk. They say, well, compared to that home down the street, or compared to that product there, or compared to what I saw on the internet, that's what I'm comparing it to. Now you have something to go on. Then you pause. It's too expensive. Well, you know, if I could show you a way you could afford this, would you be interested? If this price were free, putting price aside, would you be still be interested in this product or the service? Gauge their interest. Or you come back right out. It's too expensive. That's exactly why you need this. And that gives you another 5-10 seconds to put in a benefit there to grab their attention. Another good one, especially in negotiation. Well, what kind of price were you expecting to pay? Well, not that much. Probably a knee jerk. Well, I was expecting it to be this. You might only be a couple hundred dollars off if it's a big negotiation. Find out what they were expecting to pay. Your goal during this process, when they're being closed-minded, they're not opening up, they're throwing all these objections at you, is to dig a little deeper. Come up with some great questions. Remember, great persuaders not only listen more, they ask great questions. Well, I'm surprised to hear you say that. What do you mean by an open-ended question? You're consulting, you're taking notes, you're listening. Get them to open up. Use silence. Pause. Get them to talk. Always ask the easiest questions first to get that track record going, but learn to dig deeper. Well, could you tell me the reasons for and against making a decision at this time? Can you look at both sides here so I can understand what you're thinking and how I can help you out and how I can serve you? You've been really quiet. Would you mind telling me what you're thinking about? That's a good one. See, somebody taught once in the world of sales and negotiation, first one to talk loses. Really? Huh. Well, if everyone's been to the same school, no one's talking, it's been 20 minutes, it sounds like a waste of time to me. You can still maintain control and power if you ask a question. You keep control with the question. Learn to isolate that objection. Really, what's going on here? What's truly happening here? Well, it's too expensive. Okay, well, is money the only reason that holds you back right now or from doing this? Well, no. Or they say, well, yes, it is. Isolate it so you're not just shooting in the dark. You know exactly what the challenge is. Well, suppose we could solve the money issue or the warranty issue or the training issue. Would you be willing? And you can fill in the blank. Is this the only concern you have about this purchase? This is the only one right here. Let's put that one aside. Make sure there's nothing else. Can you always want to solve the easiest issues first? It's called the set aside. Set it aside. And then come to it later. Another benefit we've learned from the world of sales and closing skills is what's called trial closes. Understand a big complaint against you in selling is that you over-persuade, you talk too much, you talk three times too much, and you're getting too friendly too fast. So you need to learn when it's time to shut up and ask for their business. So there's some certain things you can do to kind of gauge their temperature. Because in sales, it's almost like a pendulum. Oh, no, I don't want to do it, and there's no way I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it. Then it starts to swing back. Oh, that is interesting. I might want to do it. I can see the benefits. That would really help me out. Then it swings back. Oh, I don't think I want to do it. And it keeps swinging back and forth. And your goal is to hit when they're ready to do it. So, well, if I can prove, fill in the benefit, fill in what they're looking for, will I get your business? Remember, persuaders are problem solvers. Well, let me show you. Can I show you how to do this? Will I get your business? And if they say yes, you're a little closer, the door is opening. Suppose I could get exactly what you're looking for. If I could triple your order for that price, would I get your business? Will I get your order? Yes. Okay, well, let me make a phone call and we'll make it happen. It sounds like you and I are in agreement on this. It sounds like everything's perfect, everything that you're looking for. Is that correct? Yes, it is. Okay, you don't need to vomit any more features or benefits. It's time to ask for their business. Or if you're stuck, if you're not sure where to go, if you're just kind of sitting there going back and forth, be blunt. You've built the trust. What exactly do I need to do to get your business? And listen. Other ones you could use is, how many of these do you think you will need in 1 year? Well, I'll need 22. Hello, they're thinking about it. They're close. They're pretty much done. How many extra sales do you need to justify this investment? 4. And how long do you think it'll take you to get those 4 sales? A month? So you could probably pay for this investment in 1 month. Yeah. Okay. Hello. So the three samples I showed you, which one is your favorite? Okay, that one? Tell me why. Why do you like this feature over that feature? Getting closer, you're opening the door, you're building up the temperature. Then we get into the closes. Let me just throw a few out there. Some are outdated more than others. I'm not going to give you all of them, but a few that you could add to your toolbox right now. Remember, the keys to have more persuasion and sales tools. One's called the secondary close, where it's just a minor thing. No stress, no pressure. Do you want it delivered or take it with you? Now, if you lead with this, if you do this too soon, it'll have the opposite effect, I guarantee you. Do you want it in blue or green? Do you want the regular or VIP? Do you want to pick it up at the front door or the back door? Anything like that. Just a minor thing, secondary, when they say, well, I want it in green. I want it at the back door. I want it delivered. It's done. They're ready to go. Fill out the paperwork or whatever you need to do. There's the alternative close, where you give them a choice. Very similar to the secondary close, but it's you give them a choice. We've noticed in persuasion and sales, when you say, do you want A or B? Do you want A, B, or C? But you never want to say, do you want A, B, C, D, E, G, F, or H, I, it's too many. Do you want to the 500 discount or 1,000 discount, regular VIP? That's a choice. So this one's done different than secondary because it's done to where they can choose product A or product B. That's when you can use this one. The old assumption close, you're selling past the close. Do you want this delivered today or tomorrow? Will this be cash or charge? Will you want to move in this month or in 2 months? Do you want to do the 4% deal or the 5% deal? Again, similar, we're taking from the other closes, but we're assuming the sale. Do you want the special tires on your car for the mountains? Same type of thing. When they say yes, you're ready to go. There's the old takeaway. It triggers a little scarcity, what they call psychological reactance. Now, this is good because it's going to help you. First of all, it builds that urgency and that scarcity. But also, if you say, you know what? I don't think this is a good fit for you. And they say, yeah, you're right. You leave. You've saved time. But then they might say, well, wait a minute. I think it could be. You're going to ask a few more questions. Or you can say something like, let me see if I even have it in stock or have it in your size. This might not be appropriate for you. I don't know if this will work for you. So you're kind of doing two things. You're gauging their interest, but you're also increasing that urgency, that scarcity. Because if there's no scarcity or urgency, it's very difficult for them to make a decision. The old summary close, or they call the Ben Franklin close. Not a big fan of this. Only with a long-term sale with analytical people. Where you say, okay, let's talk about the pros and the cons. And you help them with the pros and you let them come up with the cons. Time and a place. Use this one very sparingly. But for analytical people, it does work. The order sheet close. Start filling it out. Let me get your name. Well, I'm not ready. I don't know. Let's just start it off. So I'm going to do it later. And what's your address? Gets them involved. Gets them thinking about it. Have them do it if you can. Get them started. So, you know, if you don't purchase, I'll throw it away. I just want to make sure you get all the details straight. You're not committed to buy right now, but it's slowly leading them down the path of persuasion. Relevant story close. Talked about how great persuaders are great storytellers. Stories persuade without detection. We think in terms of stories. It's not only social validation, other people doing it because they'll believe other people more than they believe you, but you can tell someone to do something they'll resist you, but if you tell them in a story, they can see themselves doing them. They put themselves in the story, and you come up with a relevant story. Well, someone that walked away, they wanted to think about it. This is what happened. Here were the devastating consequences. Have some relevant stories handy. The old invitational close. Just a quick invitation. You've done everything you can. Why don't you give us a try? Let's do this. Why don't you take it? Let's go ahead and do this, and I'll go ahead and give you this guarantee. This is only when they're sitting on the fence. Good one, too, is what's called the Columbo Lost Sale Doorknob Close. This is you've done everything. You don't know what else to do. They're sitting there. They're not moving. They're not closing. There's no order form. You've tried everything. And you get up and go to the door. Say, you know, I really appreciate your time. Sound like a perfect fit to me, but appreciate your time. Thanks for letting me in. Again, I've taken enough of your time right now. And you reach for that doorknob and you say, just let me ask you one last question. It seemed like a perfect fit. What is the main reason we're not doing business together? Very simple. Let them open up. Because what happens is once you go for that doorknob, their resistance really goes down and they tend to open up a lot more. The ascending close. So we want to get six yeses. See, when you're in a closing situation or call to action situation, you never want to get a no. That's like hitting a brick wall. Get as many yeses as possible. So door-to-door salespeople, do you live here? Yes. Okay. And they just keep asking more and more questions. And you want to get six yeses till the final yes is they're ready to buy. Just make sure you structure it ahead of time. It's not something that's very easy to wing. Old puppy dog close. It's still powerful. Still works. Comes from the pet store. Just take the dog home. I know you don't want to. Take the dog home for the weekend. If you don't like it, bring it back. Yeah, right. And a lot of you have a product or service or idea that you have all the benefits in the world, but say, hey, just try it for a week. Try it for 2 weeks. Try it for a month. Try it for this. Take it home. Hey, drive the car for a month. If you don't like it, bring it back. Try the 12 CDs for a month if you don't want to send them back. I mean, look at the infomercials. You get it in their hands. Chances are rare they're going to return it. Get them to take ownership. Very simple to do. So this is your homework. This is what I want you to do. I want you to sit down and think, what are your top three objections? They might be some of the ones we talked about today. You list, what are your top three objections that you get the most? And then I want you to write three responses for each. Five, keep an objection notebook. Every time you get a new objection or a better response or some way someone else handled it, you write it down. You come up with new ideas. You're thinking about it. You love objections. That's okay. You love these objections. That's okay. Then that will help you with the close. That'll help you with the trial closes. That'll help you understand them a lot better, whether it's a knee-jerk rejection, a smokescreen objection, or a true objection. Do this, learn to master this, and you'll see a big difference in your life and your income, and you are on the road to resistant-free selling.